2 weeks ago, I collected like a lot of your statements, prayers, your you had some prophetic things, you had some Bible verses. Remember, I mean, it was actually so. I liked the service so well, I still gave away those notes. So you guys made an impact on me, and I appreciate that. Thanks, Micah. I took that pause to look at people because I want everyone to realize, like, your words have power. Or when you get on Messenger and you throw your verse up and you feel like there's meaning to that, or whatever the vehicle is, when you do that, there's so much power in you. And I don't ever want to underestimate or downplay that, as if to say there's this top-down structure to the church, right? And you've got these leaders who are these amazing people, and then you've got all the little peons. And that is not church, right? Church is, everyone here is powerful, and the Holy Spirit moves and lives and breathes in all of you. And then you have leaders who are servants among you who just want to empower you and tell you, do that and just do that more and do that better and learn from that and grow in that, and you know, right? So thank you. Well, then maybe some of you guys don't like Messenger, you like something else. Let me know. Like, let's figure it out so that we have a mechanism for everybody to begin to speak and communicate into each other's life, okay?
All right.
Cool. Baptism also, I want to let you know, if anyone is interested in baptism, we will be baptizing in the lake at the campground. So please contact me and we'll talk through it. And if you have children, yeah, let's do it. Just you have a sheet that I've, you know, developed that has just the fine points so that you can speak to them in their language, if you will. And then you as the parent will know if your child's ready. I don't want to be the gatekeeper trying to tell you if your kid's ready. You know your kid better than I do. So you just tell me if they're ready. And let it go, you know, let them go. I was baptized at the age of 8. And yeah, kids know, kids understand. It sticks with them. Okay. Are you with me? What are you guys thinking about, the barbecue? Huh? All right, so we've been speaking about the bride of Christ. We've been speaking about the story of Esther. We've been speaking about how we were created for such a time as this. You know, there can be a lot of pressure on the such a time as this statement, right? It can be an exciting thing, like, it's my season. Am I enough? Do I even believe that? There's a wrestler. That's where he is. Wrestle with the Lord, right? Like every other. Sometimes I don't believe you, God. Sometimes I think this is hype. Well, let him throw you down and pin you for a second. Phrase, put it on a shelf. I hate to hurt anybody's feelings, but I haven't found that scripture in the Bible. Put it on a shelf. I haven't found it. Huh? You've never heard of that? So when God speaks a word to you, but you feel like the timing is not now, so you put it on a shelf. No, don't put it on a shelf. Wrestle with it. Pull it out. Like, right? Right? Karen, you had some words that you had tucked away in a box in the middle of the night. The Lord knocked down your closet shelf, and all those boxes came out, and you had to wrestle with your words. Do you want a mic? She's going to go for it, isn't she? You going to go for it? No, it's okay. We're,
sure.
Internet people are standing by.
Oh, no, it's no big deal. I just, about 26 years ago, God did give me a word. I stood for all 26 years for something, and it's been a very hard, long journey.
Oh, thanks.
And I was in the middle of the night, the top of my shelf fell, like all of a sudden I heard crash, bang, boom, and I'd been looking for a really long time for my journals that I journaled for all this for a long time, and I had put away. And when I read it, God kind of spoke something different to my heart and revealed some things to me. So, you put it on a shelf, literally. But,
right, but
so
you
anyway,
didn't
so
stay
just
there.
If he wants to get, you know, he wants to speak to you, trust me, he will speak to you. And it was good. It was a good thing. It brought a lot of clarification. But what they used to say was, in my day, because I'm very old, is if God gives you a word, put it on the shelf. And if it comes to pass, it was God. And if it doesn't come to pass, it wasn't him. That's what they've said,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
For all my life.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen. I'm just challenging you guys, don't leave it on a shelf. Pull it down and wrestle with it. Disengage from the word of the Lord. From a concept that he's put on your life. And I don't want you to wake up one day with regret saying, I really should have engaged that. I left it on a shelf too long. Cool, that was not in my plan here, but it's important. So we're speaking about how the bride is a wise investor, okay? And what do I mean about that? I'm going to start in Proverbs 31. Again, it's not in Esther, but it's cool. We're talking about the bride here, so I figure if we go to the chapter about the bride, we can just learn from that. She, the bride, clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. When she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instructions with kindness. Remember, we talked about how as we deliver God's words or the wisdom that comes from God, the church has often delivered it without kindness, and that the days are here where we need to know the heart of the Lord as well as the word of the Lord and put those two together. And so even when we're speaking about sin and those topics, we can still do it with kindness, which leads to repentance, right? Okay. She carefully watches everything in her household and suffers nothing from laziness. I love it. That's just like a sand spur in your sock. Forget. I'll use all of it, right? As long as we surrender it. Verse 31, now we're in verse 17. She, the bride, is energetic and strong, a hard worker. And I painted this in green because I want to discuss this. She makes sure her dealings are profitable. She's a wise investor, right? Some of us, we've seen those spouses. None of them are like ours. Just waste their time. They're profitable. They lead to something that will have a return, okay? Not only hold its value, but grow in value. We know those things happen to be the fruit of the Spirit in our life, right? Investing into other people's liability is not based on the... So you guys, this is a great time to talk about this. Let's say stock market is stinky. And crypto's stinky. And people are wondering, what do I invest in? What do I do? The thing that I feel is not being said, but is being said, is I can't seem to make profitable thinking, right? And there's no mechanism or vehicle for me to know. So soil that makes no sense, right? And it grows, and that's my life, that's your life, right? Yes, I feel like we're like disengaged here. I'm having trouble. What's going on? Is it you or is it me? That's cool. I mean, okay, good. If as long as it's me, I can get over that. Huh? People are sleeping? You know what it is? Everybody spent too much time in the sun yesterday having fun, and now you're just like dehydrated and checked out. All right. Next of everything we've talked about so far, this wife, she's the bride, and she is investing in, and she is, right? It talks about her husband is well known at the city gates. Is that because the husband is really qualified, smart dude? Well, it could be, but that's not what the chapter's about. The chapter's about the bride. And because of the bride, the husband is well known at the city gates. Like, she is his biggest cheerleader, but she is also so impressive in and of herself as the team member of the husband that she makes him great. She makes his name great. Right? And this is us. This is us. We're married to Jesus and we're making him well known throughout the city. Right? And it doesn't necessarily say as I'm reading this that she's out there passing out tracts and she's out there, right, knocking on doors. But just her very existence, her investment, all the things that we've read prior to verse 23 are signaling, wow. You got a good one. I know who you are. You're married to that chick, right? Right? It's like the Christ in us is selling the Christ in the city, right? Or are we investing in the world? And therefore Christ isn't being seen, right? And maybe whatever we are investing in is actually doing the opposite and people aren't really knowing Christ. Based on that, right? Are you good with this? This is not to spank you. This is just like, let's just talk about what's worth it and what's not worth it. right? Cool. Where he sits with other civic leaders. What I like about that is, does every this will be funny. Raise your hand if you know any good civic leaders. We have some that we believe in some of their policies. We have some that we can't even imagine one policy we could agree on. But the fact is, they're all civic leaders, politicians. They're all in it for themselves, right? I'm sorry if I'm being mean. But politicians are self-seeking. They have a career to think of. Yes, they want to represent you, but they also have another position in mind. So they don't want to go against the opposition too strong, right? It's always political, controlling and divisive environment. And that is where she has made his name great. You hear the heart, right? And this is not me telling you, although Neil would say, hey, call up your senator, take him to lunch, and know him, and let's just introduce Christ straight on, right? So, Neil, you are part of this bride right here. And maybe it's time and you and I can talk about it, like how to blow this thing up and make it more of a discussion. Okay. But it's also true that wherever we are among self-advancing, conniving, controlling, and divisive people, that Jesus can still be made great by simply investing our lives into the right things, and they see it, and they will see. Because the wisdom of God is foolish to the world, but in us. Right? We good, Nikki? Okay. I guess we'll just keep rolling with Esther. You want to do that? Esther 7, verse 9. This is the happy part of the story. I really like this part. So Esther had just told the king what Haman is doing. He's trying to kill us, all of us Jews. And the king has now basically had his servants put the veil over Haman's face, signaling his demise. It has not been declared what his judgment was. One of the king's eunuchs said, he intends to use it to impale Mordecai, the man who saved the king from assassination. Remember the 75-foot pole? Okay. Here's where the enemy gets to see the depth of the rage of God, right? Where we talked about how the 75-foot pole was, like, it's just as effective 5-foot pole, but the enemy wants to aggrandize the attack in your life to make you see a mountain instead of a molehill. Turned against him, and the king's command was then impale Haman on it, the king ordered, so they impaled Haman on the pole. That was his wife's idea, by the way, Haman, to set that thing up. That stunk. That must have stunk. Okay, useless facts that are funny. So they impaled Haman on the pole that they set up for Mordecai, and the king's anger subsided. I love this idea, okay, that something that was meant for evil or for harm in Mordecai and Esther's life was turned around and used in here, that wasn't the end. It's not like, you know, Darth Vader's been that major attack, that the day of Purim is coming, where everyone who is a Jew is supposed to be massacred, okay? But the guy who planned out this freedom until they have it, okay? And that reminds me of the life we're living here. Like, the enemy has been placed on a 75-foot next freedom battle in the days to come. We have to invest wisely in that time. It's the power of the cross every day. It doesn't mean that what he did for us is any less. It just means it's the only thing we have. You're diminishing. No hope apart from. And yet we still have to walk it out and embrace and receive what he did. One's active and one's passive, right? Right, Howards? I got so much. I'm jumping here. Ready? So we have this deliverance that was handed to us, and I really want to talk about this. Like, what does our life look like now that we know we were called to be wise investors of all that God has put into our life? Include, it's more like you got 24 hours in a day. You've got all this opportunity. You've got the very seed of God in you, Jesus, the hope of glory. How are we investing that, right? And 2 Corinthians 11, I'm making you jump probably 5-6 verses. Thanks, man. Says, for I feel a divine jealousy for you, since I betrothed you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. This is Paul speaking to a church. I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes and proclaims another Jesus than the one we proclaimed, or if you receive a spirit different from the one you received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it readily enough. Right? And I'm sort of going to turn this a little bit to the left, but I want you to know that it's the same topic, and that is, will the church over the future, and this includes you, right? Will it forget about all the grace and the times that the Lord has flipped times of evil and made them times of healing and rescue for us? Will we forget about those things? And will we drift more toward whatever makes us comfort, distracted? Will we just find that, you know, we don't need him as much, and so we can just fill ourselves with junk food? No, but I just have this strong ask. Will the church trade power, purity, for convenience and temporary rewards? Because the enemy is
convenience, you know, and we have to prioritize him above all things. And when we are that way, he responds. So it's a very good word for me personally. It spoke, because whether that's work or family, you have to realize that it's not a level that you can flex, mm-hmm. right? You have to put him first and respond to him first, and then everything else comes.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks. And what I believe I'm saying is responding to the love that he gave us. So it's, again, it's not obligation and necessity and hard work, do more, do better. It's just not allowing ourselves to forget what he's given us so that our response is appropriate to the one who reached out to us, right? And think about the times of a life where maybe you had such an incredible need for God's power to move in your life, and you were a little crazy. Did you ever have those moments? Huh? What'd you say?
Daily?
Yeah, and for some of you, there's like family members who think you're nuts, right? And some of them are like, okay, I'm getting a little nervous for you. Like, you need to back it down, because, you know, the disappointment really hurts when it doesn't happen. And you're just like, that doesn't help me at all, right? Right? And I hope that as we find that we've gone through those moments through the fire where the Lord was with us and he rescued us, and then we were delivered from something, that we then go, okay, now I can take a breath and I can just stop pressing in so hard. And we replace that energy with just laziness, you know, flabbiness, disinterest, ungratitude, right? And I'm not preaching at anybody. I'm just like, you know, do our inventory and say, Lord, did I let that go? And did I forget? I think that's probably the best description of it, right? Moms, have you ever, the kids, you're like, why did you do that? Well, I forgot, right? I'm here to make sure you don't forget. Are we walking in a place of humility before the Lord where we actually see that dependence is a gift? Raise your hand if you love dependence. Said nobody in the room, right? And it's a gift. It's a gift. It calls us to him. And I'm going to end today one of the scary prayers, and I'm going to just tell you now so you can start getting your head around it. Lord, I want to find the gift of dependence on you once again. spark it in me. Make me hungry for more dependence on you. Because in the end, really, like, yeah, we want our freedom and we want to be able to rest a little bit and stop fighting so hard. But really, at the core, when you sweep all that away, what we really want is just more of him in our life. Right? And some of the less of us, more of him, only comes through dependence, which is usually a really short leash. Right? It's okay. Take a deep breath. Dependence on him is a gift because it keeps us from drifting away from his direction and from his power, and it keeps us from doing it in our own strength. Right? Okay. Going back to cultural shifts, you know, churches are splitting right now over doctrine that is wrestling with the way culture has begun to shift and change, which shows me that based on the purity and the simplicity of the experience, I think it's critical and it's important and it's actually godly. And I love unity, and it breaks my heart to see separation among believers. It truly does. It truly does, right? I'm not saying I want to advocate splits. All I'm saying is not, well, Ecclesiastes 3, sometimes it's a time to break and sometimes it's a time to mend, right? And there are moments where when people of, I was explaining this to a pastor just very recently who's kind of struggling with a split, that some people in the church have a vision that's like way over here, and some people have a vision that's way over here. And so what you get when you put everybody together and you preach, let's just have unity together, right? You get a vision that's neither here nor here. It's just here. And really nobody's happy because you've averaged the extremes into something, right? And the Holy Spirit is wanting freedom to be Holy Spirit. And we're saying, no, this is about the best you get right here, because if you go too far over here, these people get upset. And if you go over here, then these people, and everybody is managing the circus of emotions, and nobody's asking, Holy Spirit, what do you want? Amen. Right? And so the Lord is, but I'm seeing freedom because people are able to follow Holy Spirit over here now. So if the Holy Spirit average was here between these two things, now it's like it's all over here, and they're able to counter him where he is. Okay. It's also forcing us to face that part of us. Will we embrace it, or will it offend us? And the culture's not going to like that. But that's why Christians have been getting killed for 2,000 years at this point in other nations, and right? Says something about Christians are just dang offensive. Right? And we've enjoyed such time of peace in our nation. Well, kind of over here. And you may find that you weren't asking for a fight. You weren't piping up on Facebook, picking a fight with people. You weren't doing anything. And yet somehow, just because you're present in the room and you happen to be a lover of Christ, you're offensive. Right? And we'll find ourselves being defensive if we're not careful. We'll find ourselves potentially shooting one back across their bow just to teach them who they're, you know. But at the same time, we weren't called to that either. So somehow this offensive message of the gospel has to get out. And basically, it's going to live itself out through us if we can.
It's doctrine true. Right? Like, it makes me think of the lukewarm church.
Yeah.
Sharing kind of the division that's happening in some churches, it made me think of what we learn about the Luke cold, but it's very timely in a message. I know for me, and a lot within our world, it is causing us to begin to question ourselves and think one way or another, rather than saying, you know, it's faith and works that need to take place, right? There's like a meme that's going around that says thoughts and prayers, policy and change, and thoughts and prayers is crossed out, right?
Yep.
But if we're rich and steadfast in the doctrine, then we cannot be a.
Amen. And don't let us be satisfied because maybe we're unaffected, right? Do you remember the cartoons? Your suddenly fell in love with the character in the show. They got hearts in their eyes, yeah. Right? And that, I think, is the question of the day, is when the world sees us, do they see us with hearts in our eyes for Jesus, right? Or do they just see a people who are, like, offensive or weird or twisted or judgmental or, right, disengaged, unhelpful? I really just want to see, like, no matter what the circumstance, no matter how good or bad, no matter what the economy's doing, the laws are doing, right, do they see the hearts in our eyes for Jesus?
Goes back, like you're saying, seeing hearts in their eyes for Jesus. Like going back to that first, one of the first verses you were talking about with the tree planted by the river, mm-hmm. and how the leaves are green. It's producing no matter what's happening around you. And if you just take that picture, if you're a tree that's producing fruit in a season where everybody else, every tree around you is producing fruit, whether they're by the river or they're by the whatever. I mean, there's places where it doesn't matter where you throw something, it's going to grow because of the season and the nature of it. It's like we can.
Right.
And it's the hearts in there. As people see that and they're like, wow, like that's what it's like to love God. That's what it's like to know God. That's what it's like to be planted, because when you see that tree and it sticks out amongst other trees that are dead, that's when people, like, it actually gets people's attention. And I think in our hearts, we, like, want to be, oh, I want to be light in the darkness. Oh, I want to be this. Oh, I want to be that.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Preach it. So the Lord is in the business of flipping stuff. We've talked about that plenty of times, right? But there's a particular one that I think I want to jump into. And that's 1 Peter 5, 6 through 10. And I'm out of time. Can I do it? Do it. So Peter said, humble yourselves under the mighty power of God. Can we go back one slide? Thank you. And at the right time, he will lift you up. Any power. It's kind of saying, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. And I love that he said he cares about you, because once again, this is not about, I want you to be humble, humiliate yourself before me, and you know what I mean? It's like, pause. You're only surrendering to the one who deeply cares about you. You know what I mean? It's important for that reminder. Then he says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him. Be strong in your faith. And remember that your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are. And I put this in because it's important to remember, and yet the church still advances. Right? And you brought up Texas, and you know what? Things are happening everywhere. I don't want to glorify one tragedy over another. There are tragedies happening to our brothers and sisters all over the world. And for 2,000 years, being squished and squeezed, that's where the kingdom of God has advanced, against all odds. And the greater the effort to snuff it, the more it grows. Right? I think that's why the Church of America, the devil's left us alone for a long time. Because he's afraid what's going to squish out if he presses too hard. Yep. Right? And I'm hoping that we can feel, if the squishing's happening, and I better start squishing myself now before I let the world do it, right? Talks about how judgment even starts first in the house of God. That's a good thing. It's a good thing for him, before the great judge. And let God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Jesus Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore and support and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. And I just want to remind you that I don't believe that that's heaven only. Heaven only. Because it's really easy to read that right there and say, okay, so support and restoration and strength are coming after I've suffered a little while must be my life, and then all that stuff is heaven. So life just stinks. I don't believe that. Suffering. Now, there is suffering, right? Do I want to read that? What? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so let's bring up the book of Turtles. the Book of Turtles. I'm reading from, Yeah, I'm reading from Raphael and Leonardo. There is a time for everything, a season of activity for everything under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to harvest, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to tear down, a time to rebuild, a time to cry, and a time to laugh. Unfortunately, we love to build and be a miserable people, but we've tried to choose. That's why I believe that the Lord has said, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. So we'll stop numbing and let the Holy Spirit move in the good and in the bad, in the laughter and in the tears. Make sense? All right. Time to laugh, time to grieve, a time to dance, a time to scatter, a time to gather, a time to embrace, and a time to turn away, a time to search, a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to throw away. Do you hear the heart of God in that? There are some things where he's saying, I want you to throw that thing as hard and fast as you can. And we're like, but I love it. It's like, I'll trade it. But you got to drop it first. And you don't put it right there because you'll go pick it up again. Right? It's time to chuck that thing. A time to keep, a time to throw away, a time to tear, a time to mend, a time to be quiet, and a time to speak up. A time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. And the Lord gets to be God over all of those things. And we're gonna throw that, all that thing, it's so hard to understand, we're gonna throw that in the bucket we're calling the wildness of his passion. Right? He's like this storm we can't control, and that's, I would want it no other way, because if I could control him, he wouldn't be my God. He'd be my servant. And everybody wants a magical genie, but you can't have one. Okay. Have I touched a part of your heart where you feel that between barbecues and fun, like you've got some things to go home and like touch the Lord and wrestle with him and poke him, and what are you saying to me, and how does, yes?
I don't do well speaking to large crowds. but I just wanted to say, too, I think sometimes we really get stuck in our human mindset. And so when those, quote, negative things come up, whether they're situations or things we don't want to get rid of or whatever, like, this is really painful, but there's...
Oh, it's fine. You're doing good.
But we really forget, like, our human mind really gets in our weapon.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. There's always a time to speak and a time to refrain from speaking. Ecclesiastes 3 says that. And I get the joy of trying to figure out which time it is. So upon you. And somebody, you know, whether you need to take a deep breath or whether you're just running and diving in, the fact is that the Lord is looking for a bride who knows how to depend on him, because when she depends and leans on him, that's where honor and the lifting up happens, because we've humbled ourselves and we've cried out for him and we've not built a life that's so self-sufficient that there's no room for him. Yes? So God, make us depend. Some of you need to stay off Facebook. Right? I don't have a lot of depth here at the end of this message, right? What I have is just this purity of Holy Spirit. We need more of you, and it's and I'm hungry for that. Okay.
I probably don't need that. I can speak loud.
Well, the guys on the internet need it. Right. I'm looking at the camera. You want to wave?
Sorry for myself. Sorry. They're sensing something, and they're not understanding what that is. And even in my frailty, I think, man, I'm a screw-up. I make all kinds of mistakes at work with things I may say and stuff, but just to encourage everybody, even when you think you are a screw-up, like a lot of times I think I'm a screw-up, you know what? They are reaching for something. So whatever is on your heart, pray for them. His name is Kevin. Appreciate what you're sharing. It's because in my own life, I'm really spiritual in the early in the morning. I'm really hot for God. But by the time I'm on the way home, it's like I'm, you know, the road warrior. It's like, it's there within my own heart. And I just really appreciate, you know, trying to stay in it. And it's a challenge, but it's there, and the Lord's moving. I really feel the Lord is moving.
Amen. Amen. And that's why Jesus came before traffic, because he had to stay sinless and spotless. Oh, man. I'm going to just start praying. I know we normally will do something, and I'll hold the mic, okay? And if someone does feel led by the Spirit to pray, I won't close that down. I just felt. Holy Spirit. I know that you've spoken to us today. I know that there's a call to invest wisely, and that the call of investing as the bride is a call to produce fruit, climate in every even challenging time, Father, that even when there's tragedy or when there's struggle, that you've still called us to walk into that darkness and, Lord, somehow be a light. And it's not of ourselves. It's not based on who we are. It's all about how we've opened ourselves to allow the Spirit of God to be the light through us. And so, Father, we're just saying right now that for every part of us that is here before the throne, we surrender to you. We declare that we are nothing without you, that through you we can do all things, but apart from you, we are nothing. And Holy Spirit, we want to be dependent upon you. There's that God, make our glory, and we need more of you. We need a fire that will last through the entire night if necessary. We need a greater anointing and a greater. Grew up, so it's not, again, it's not us, it's you. So here we are, just hands out. Saying, fill it, fill us with more of you. And Spirit of God, as we take every day in front of you saying, I don't know how I'm going to get through this thing or this thing or this thing. Lord, let that become a quilt, God, that tells the story of Father God loving the world and reaching out and giving grace and strength and hope in every way. Oh God, we humble ourselves before you. We're not asking to be lifted up. We're just asking to stay humble before you because we know you love us, you care for us, and you will lift us up. We don't even have to ask that part. Lord, just help us to be willing to pick up the cross and stay seated and investing wisely into the things that matter. Lord, for some of us, I'm asking that you break the addiction to junk food in this life. Useless activities that just suck up our time and leave us just dry. And I just thank you for taking away excuses. Thank you, God, that there's nothing that can stand. I'm with friends or family or neighbors, God, that they will see hearts in our eyes for Jesus. Because we do. We love you so. Yeah. Well, I think I counted a 7 and nobody raised their hand. I had in a. Release, you guys. Thanks for staying extra late, and we love you, and hope you have a wonderful time. See you guys.